We continue on in our study of the fruits of the Spirit from Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And I hope by the end of this series, you'll have naturally memorized these two verses because we're going to recite them together every Sunday morning. And so Paul writes this together. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this time together in your house. Thank you for this opportunity this fall to think a bit more about the fruits of the Spirit and how we may be growing in those in our own lives as followers of Jesus. And as we often pray, we ask for spiritual eyes that see and spiritual ears that hear everything you want to say to each one of our hearts this morning through the power of the Holy Spirit, the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ himself, saying, Amen. So again, continuing in our little series on the fruits of the Spirit from chapter 5 of Galatians. You'll remember we began the series on the first fruit of the Spirit, which of course is love. Remember, biblical love is not really about feelings at all. Those can come and go, and those can be good or hard. But biblical love isn't about feelings. It's actually desiring the good of another person without anything in return. Any kickback whatsoever. And if you start to love people that way, what the world will say is this: what do you want? What do you want from me? Why are you doing this? I just wish you're the best in Christ for you, that's all. And at first they'll think you're lying, but over time you will win them with that love of Christ. Biblical love's a command, it's not a suggestion for the followers of Jesus. Matthew 22, another thing worth memorizing, you will love the Lord God with all what? Your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, and you will love your neighbor just as yourself. How you doing on loving your neighbors? Pray about it. Fabulous. Okay, good to hear. Right? Last week we looked at the second fruit of the Spirit, which of course is joy, and we found that we can remain joyful in life even when we're not particularly happy with the moment of life or something like that. How can this be? Because joy is a state of calm delight. It is built on the pillars of joy, right? Which is humility, humor, forgiveness, gratitude, compassion, and generosity. All these things play a part in the growth of joy in your life. How are you doing with joy in your life? Some of you are like, pretty good. Others are like, you know? This is why we're doing a series. So this morning we are thinking about the important experience, the idea of peace. Where can we find that peace that passes all understanding? That's what we're talking about this morning. And if we've learned anything over the past couple crazy years of life, is that most people in this world look for peace in things other than the Lord. We're trying to find our peace in things that ultimately cannot give us the peace that we really, really crave. Kind of like the time when a man went to his annual Halloween party at work, and that's a big outreach for us here coming up soon, and by the time it ended at 2 a.m., he realized that he had drank a little too much. His wife, however, eschewing all social gatherings like that, spent a quiet evening at home drinking tea. But when the man finally arrived at home, he couldn't believe how angry and violent she became. She threw a chair at him, screaming at the top of her lungs. The man, however, was very quiet and peaceful, and he went off to bed silently. But she kept cursing him. When he got up for breakfast the next morning, she just continued her abuse of him at breakfast. And so what's the moral to the story during this chilly fall season? If you can't handle your tea, people, don't drink tea. Please avoid drinking tea. Seriously, where do we go for peace in a world that feels constantly at war? Right? In one way or another. A world that has stolen so much of your peace, so much of my peace. Well, I decided to go to the Bible once again. What does the Bible have to say about peace? Well, evidently a lot, because the word occurs over 400 times in the Bible, right? You may know this word, this Old Testament Hebrew word, shalom. It's such an awesome word for peace, because it doesn't just mean the absence of anxiety or affliction. It means wholeness. It means rest. It is the preferred Jewish way of greeting one another when you see someone, shalom. And I thought, oh, that's such a good way of greeting, right? The New Testament Greek, peace, Irene, where we get the lady's name, Irene, can mean this, that it's a normal state of things, including peace with God. You know, peace is your birthright as a follower of Jesus. Do you experience peace as a normal course of living? So I thought it was sort of ironic. Biblical peace means a restful state of well-being that is in right relationship to the Lord. It's that simple. I found that incredible, even helpful, even peaceful, as I thought about it this week. Maybe Christian peace is a very practical thing. Maybe it's not so hard, right? Look at the order of God's creation itself, all the way from Genesis at the beginning. Genesis 2 says this: on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had been doing, and on the seventh day, he rested. And in that rest, there was shalom, there was peace. But here's the thing, if we go on in the story, we know it. God's peaceful order had been destroyed through Adam and Eve's willful disobedience. And so the opposite of peace came flooding into the world. Again, not just anxiety and affliction, but alienation. Alienation from God and from one another. But in his great love, we know the story, right? God promised a Messiah, his own son, who would set us free from this sin, this affliction through faith. It had been prophesied through Isaiah some 700 years before. We often use these verses during the Christmas time, right? But this is where we get the title for Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah prophesied, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, not your shoulders." Isn't that good news? On his shoulders, right? And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And the greatness of his government and his peace, there will be no end, right? If you remember the Christmas story in Luke, that peace was heralded by angels, right? The chorus, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth," what? "Peace to whom his favor rests." You know, digging around the Bible, I was sort of surprised to find in the New Testament, 50% of all the verses on peace in the New Testament come from the Apostle Paul himself. And this guy was always running around trying to stay out of jail and all kind of stuff, but he knows what biblical peace is, right? And I noticed, how did Paul normally write his letters? How did he begin to the early Christian congregations? He starts off with this: "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." So biblical shalom, biblical peace should be a fruit that you experience in your life or even grow in. But we do live in a very unpeaceful world, don't we? Unlike the time when a man decided to do a good deed and cook eggs for his wife one chilly fall morning. Now, the man barely knew how to cook, evidently, and he thought he would surprise his wife with breakfast, but he got the surprise instead. She walked into the kitchen and started in saying, "Be careful. Put more butter in the skillet. You've got too many eggs in there. Flip them, come on. I said, put more butter in the skillet. Oh, dear Lord, they're sticking. Look, they're sticking to the pan. Now be careful. You never listen to me, by the way. Now flip them over already. Hurry. And the guy just sort of stared at his wife in shock and said, "What is wrong? Do you think I can't fry a few eggs for you?" To which his wife calmly replied and said, "I just wanted to show you what it feels like when I'm driving." Touché. So much for peace. So where do you go? Where do I go? Where do we go when we lack peace in our lives? Again, people take their desire, their need for peace in all kinds of directions apart from the Prince of Peace. And that's where we exactly get ourselves in trouble, right? That's where the problem ends up, right? In fact, I have seen this sign in different places over the years, and it's meant to be funny, but it really speaks of the world's inability to experience peace. Have you seen this sign? If you stay calm while all around you is chaos, then you probably haven't completely understood the situation. Well, maybe I don't want to understand the situation. Maybe because God is not in that situation. You will only find the deep and abiding, peaceful and wholesome shalom in the company of the Prince of Peace himself, Jesus Christ. He's got to be your focus in life and during this fall season. Right, Jesus said this, one of the last things he said to his disciples in the farewell discourse, John 14. He said this, look, you know, it's going to be hard, but peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Where do you take your fear? Where do you take your anxieties? That can go in any number of directions. Is your first response to turn to God in prayer? I mean, Joan gave that testimony this morning with some fears, a concern, I'm overwhelmed. And God spoke clearly and gave peace. That was a testimony of peace. We didn't even rehearse that, did we, Joan? Yeah. It's God thing, right? Isn't that good? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. So biblical peace is not merely the absence of war, which was pretty helpful for a couple of days on Christmas 1914, wasn't it? That is a powerful story. I don't know of any other stories where that ever happened again. The officers were so mad that they said, you guys ever do that again? Court-martial and public execution. But biblical peace came through for at least a couple days on the battlefields, didn't it? Again, biblical peace is not merely an absence of war or anxiety or affliction. It is a state of wholeness, of well-being, of rest. First and foremost between you and Jesus, and then with your neighbors. Love what Christian author Thomas Merton said about this. It's so simple. He said, if people really wanted peace, they would sincerely ask God and he would give it to them. He would give it to you. But why should he give the world a peace that it doesn't really desire? The peace that the world pretends to desire is really no peace at all because it has nothing to do with God. As if you could find abiding a peace apart from the Maker. Now, even in those actual times of warfare, you know, again, you can see the power of the Prince of Peace work at work. You know, that offering, I thought, video was really powerful. It's officially called the World War I Christmas Truce of 1914. And again, as the narrator shared, 100,000 British and German troops informally decided to live in peace together on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day in 1914. So soldiers crossed the lines, the trenches, they exchanged food, cigarettes, small gifts. Everybody smoked back then, right? And gifts, there were burial ceremonies they had. That's powerful. Prisoner exchanges. Wasn't that cool for a Christmas present? I will return you back home. We will let you be redeemed. Wow. Carols, Christmas carol singing, and they even had soccer matches. Many of the officers, again, were horrified by the fraternization with the enemy. But again, those 2 days of peace continued without interruption. And miracle of all miracles, it included joint Christmas Eve services in honor of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. This is history, folks. And, you know, it's been popularly said, I think it's kind of helpful. Know Jesus and you will know peace. But if there's no Jesus in your life, forget about it. No peace will be in your life. Now, Merton also says this. Remember, he says, if people sincerely wanted peace, all they would have to do is ask God and he would give it. But do we really want it? Do you really, really want the Prince of Peace? Or do you want something else, kind of like the time? When a rabbi and a priest got in a really bad car accident, both vehicles were totally demolished, but amazingly, neither of the men were hurt. And they crawled out of their cars, and the rabbi saw the priest's collar, and he said, "Oh, so you're a priest and I'm a rabbi. Just look at our cars. There's nothing left of them, and yet we are unhurt. This must be a sign from God. God must have been doing this. God must have meant that you and I are supposed to be friends for life, and we're supposed to live in peace together for the rest of our days." And the priest said, "I agree completely with you, Rabbi. This must be a sign from God." The rabbi continued, "Look, here's another miracle. My car is completely destroyed, but look, this bottle of wine did not break. Surely God wants us to toast with this wine to celebrate our new peaceful relationship." He handed it to the priest. The priest took a couple swigs, gave it to the rabbi, and the rabbi just took the cap, put it on, gave it back to the priest. And the priest was confused and said to the rabbi, "Aren't you going to have any wine to toast the peace that we have agreed to live in?" And the rabbi responded, "No, I think I'll just wait for the police." Savage. Oops. Yeah. Do you want more peace in your life during this fall season? I bet you do. It's very simple. The more you focus your life on the Prince of Peace, the more of his peaceful shalom you experience, that would be a great fruit of the Spirit for you to grow in. The less you focus on the Prince of Peace, the less of his peaceful shalom you will experience. It is a choice. So maybe biblical peace is not so hard to understand. Maybe it's not so slippery. A few takeaway points for this morning. Maybe this will help you discover biblical peace in a newer, fulsome sort of way. Again, remember, biblical peace is not simply an absence of war. It is a state of wholesome well-being and rest. Secondly, biblical peace is your birthright as a follower of Jesus. Remember the angels saying, God's favor rests upon you. And then finally, biblical peace is only found in Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. If you know Jesus, you can know peace. If you have no peace or no Jesus, there won't be very much peace in your life. Amen.